Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
This little space for lease, and a guy comes along who owns a chain of fencing schools and decides that he wants to lease this space for his fencing school, for his next fencing school. And so we hit it off. He's a friendly fella, and through the conversation, I found out that he was also an executive recruiter. So I thought, why not? Let's just go ahead and have lunch one day and just network a little bit, learn a little bit more about each other. And I invited him out to lunch, and we hit it off. We had a fantastic time at lunch. And the best part was that he bought, and then it was even better. So after that, I decided, well, why not? Let's just ask him to interview for Career Callings Radio. And this is Career Callings Radio. Robbie Romeiser, your guest here. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help you. Did I say guest, Maestro? I meant to say host. I'm your host, not your guest, to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can reach us today at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or Robbie at careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E. The guy I'm talking about is Blake Blakeborough, an executive recruiter with the Kidder Group in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder and owner of the Knights of Siena, a chain of 9 fencing schools that teaches children, teenagers, and adults the sport of fencing. Started his schools back in the early 1990s, developing a passion for teaching fencing, and then he got his heart right and moved down to the South, where he ended up kind of falling into the world of executive recruiting. And we sat down in studio to learn a little bit more about the lessons he's learned over the years through both of his callings. And without further ado, let's just dig in into what we prepared for you today from my interview with Blake Blakeborough. What was it that made you understand that those two things were what you were made to do?
When you can't sleep, when you have a burning passion to do something, when you feel that it is something that you have to pour your heart into 110%, where you feel that even if you fail and there was a reason for it because you're going to learn and become better because of it tomorrow. When everything that you do, whether it be good or bad, gives you that sense of fulfillment. For a lot of people, when they discover their purpose or they discover what they're supposed to be doing, for a lot of people, I hear them say, it's the first time that I've really been happy. And that spills over then into their family life and then everything else that they're doing. With kids that I teach fencing, I mean, I have parents bring me kids that, for lack of a better term, have 2 left feet, 2 left hands. And they failed at every other type of sport and activity. But because of the sport of fencing, they have to learn how to do everything slowly, one step after another. And for a lot of the kids, it's the first time that they have got that light bulb, that sense of enlightenment of this is a sport that I can excel at and I can be successful at. And just seeing the change that it has in the other aspects in their life, in interacting with other kids at school, you know, respecting authority, dealing with their parents, they basically reach the point where it clicks and they get it. And having that feeling, I mean, someone can write you a check for $1 million, but all that is paper. You're not really adding anything to the community. You're not really contributing to somebody's life. So for me, having that feeling, that was like, this is really my calling. And spending 4 years with the Friars at Siena and talking to them and explaining to them, hey, I have this feeling about this is what I'm supposed to do. And having them as mentors that would be like, well, then that's your calling. They would explain to me, they had had their calling and going into the church. They're like, everybody has their calling. And they had explained to me that a lot of people, their frustration in life is they just haven't figured out what their calling is yet. Some people have a calling to be a school teacher. Some people have a calling to be a policeman or work in the military. You could have a calling to be, say, a janitor, but that doesn't mean that you have to be unsuccessful. I mean, it's like, okay, if your calling is to be a janitor, maybe that you own a janitor company. Maybe you're the person that founds the company called Molly Maids. Mm-hmm. Maybe you find something that enables then other people to do and foster that. My stuff that I do with F3, the workout group in the morning, that's all about finding what you're passionate about and then leading within your community. So,
You ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire?
Yes.
All right. There's a line in that. There's a scene in there where Eric Little, the guy who plays Eric Little, is having a debate with his sister Jenny. Mm-hmm. And Jenny is berating him because he's delaying his return to China as a missionary in order to run in the Olympics. And in the movie, whether or not the real Eric Little ever said it, I don't know, but the movie line perfectly articulates, I think, what you just said. He looked at Jenny and said, "Jenny, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." And I think what you just described with when somebody finds their calling, they can actually internally, innately feel that they're pleasing God with what they're doing. And as a result of that, he in return lifts the cloud of doubt, lifts the cloud of worry and fear, because people know they're doing what they were made to do. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. I have many months where, you know, I joke around, and I used to joke around with the Friars when, you know, I felt that this was my calling to teach fencing. We would joke around. I would say, "My calling is to teach fencing. Unfortunately, I live in a country where that is not an industry." So
that's true.
They looked at me and said, "Well, it's a good thing you're getting an accounting degree, because we'll give you the tools to go out and be an entrepreneur and find that industry and create it." When I opened the fencing school in Florida back in 1992, I found out that I was the first independent facility in the state of Florida, and there was about 5 independent facilities in the entire United States. There was a lot of stuff at college campuses, in a YMCA, park and recs department. But having a place that was like an independent facility where you could go to, like a karate dojo, did not exist.
What fears did you have to overcome in order to do that?
The fear of being wrong. The fear of letting somebody down. A lot of things that I think keep people back from doing what they truly feel passionate about, what they think is their calling. I think society today, a lot of the times, puts too many judgmental things in someone's way, too many obstacles to tell you not to go forth and try it, not to take a risk, not to have faith. And if you don't have that faith, then a lot of the big jumps that sometimes you have to take. I mean, I deal in recruiting. I mean, I have guys that tell me, you know, "My real passion is I want to be a school teacher." But that means that, say, in the state of South Carolina, they're leaving a job that pays them over $100,000 for one that would possibly pay them $20,000 or $30,000. But if their calling and their passion is to teach people and not, say, be a bean counter in a little cubicle, society has said to them, "Okay, well, you need to earn a lot of money in order to be fulfilled or to be a good provider." I would buck that and say, "No, you need to find your purpose, what makes you happy." Friars were always fond of telling me, "Better to make a life worth living than just make a life to make a living."
Absolutely. Have you ever read a book called 30 Lessons for Living by Carl Pillemer?
No.
Came out a few years ago. It's a great read. 5-year research project. He's a PhD. I forget what his actual title is, but he's a researcher. And basically, he and his staff interviewed 1,000 senior citizens ages 65 to 100. And the number one lesson out of all 30 lessons that they mentioned was this: don't get stuck in a job that you hate. It's roughly 2,000 hours a year of irretrievable time that you're wasting if you're miserable. And what you just said is perfect. I mean, God wants us to do what he created us to do. Mm-hmm. If he wants us to have wealth in that, he'll give it to us. He is the source of all wealth. But that shouldn't, you know, whether or not we make a lot of money, whose idea is that? That's not God's. That's the world's.
Right.
And you just hit the nail on the head that's not the way we were designed. We're supposed to do it his way, and that's where the inner peace comes from. As you've taken your personal lessons from building your chain of schools for fencing and the lessons you've learned also in your years as a recruiter, how do you use those two sets of experiences to help people find their passion and go about securing work in the field for which God created them?
A lot of the times it's kind of marrying in talking to the people who come and approach people at the Keter Group as far as wanting to make a change. it's sometimes making that connection to, you know, I teach kids, teenagers, on a daily basis. And those teenagers feel that they can conquer the world, that they can do anything. And then reminding the people that come and interview with me who might have been in a job for 10, 15, or 20 years that was who they were one day. And that what they're stuck in now or why they're unhappy, they have the ability to change. They just have to figure out what they want to change to do. Or if they're happy in that job but don't like the role that they're in, that it's up to them, okay? And that they are empowered to do that. And all I'm trying to do is facilitate to find where they want to do that role or that job with. So that kind of allows me to marry the two, is to basically take somebody who is kind of at a crossroads and make them realize that, okay, it's a crossroads and it's a path, and that they have to figure out which path they want to take. And even though they have possibly gone down a wrong path with their career for 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, it doesn't matter. Stop. Turn around. Go back to the beginning. Start going down a new path. Because no matter how far you go down the wrong path, it's still the wrong path. Doesn't matter if you go down another mile. Doesn't matter if you go 20 miles. Doesn't matter if it's another year or another assignment or another annual review. Turn around, do what you want to do or what you're supposed to do, and follow that path. And the minute you start going down there, the accelerated rate at which you go down there, sometimes you realize how many skills that you might have that you have developed in a role that you're not supposed to be doing, that when you find the role that you're supposed to be doing, how quickly you can succeed and be rewarded for that by using those same skills.
Like what you're hearing so far? If so, join us on the other side of the break for more with my interview with Blake Burrow, entrepreneur and executive recruiter with the Kidder Group in Greenville, South Carolina. This is Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings.
STOA presents the National Invitational Tournament of Champions at Bob Jones University May 16th through the 23rd, 2015. Homeschool students from across the USA will compete in Greenville at STOA's National Speech and Debate Tournament. But STOA needs community judges like you to make the event happen. No experience is needed. Training is provided. Please go to the website and register today. Go to nitoc2015.homeschooldebate.net.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Plan First is committed to helping Christians be a good steward of their finances. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller. Plan First is a fee-only, registered investment advisory firm. As a Christian-owned firm, we believe that we honor God when we serve our clients well. Having a Christian worldview is important as we help our clients with their investments, estate and income tax planning, long-term care, and Social Security analysis. For more information, call 1-800-588-7526 or check us out at planfirst.com.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. It's Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Feel free to join us today at 864-381-7649 or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. During the first segment, we were playing a portion of an interview I conducted with a gentleman named Blake Blakeborough, who is an entrepreneur who owns a chain of 9 fencing schools called the Knights of Siena and spread throughout North Carolina and South Carolina, and also an executive recruiter with the Kidder Group based in Greenville, South Carolina. What I want to do for this segment is continue on with our interview with Blake Blakeborough. What would be the step-by-step process you go through to match a company to a candidate? How do you, as an executive recruiter, bring these two worlds together for a good match on a regular basis?
One of the things we do at the Kidder Group that is what I feel unique. I've worked for 2 national firms, and instead of just okay, person sends you a resume, you find the resume, you find somebody who's got a job advertised on the internet somewhere. At the Kidder Group, we do what's called a candidate profile. We tell the people, it's like, look, you have all the skills that you have listed on your 1-page resume. We want to know more about you, you as a person. What's this thing that puts the fire in your belly? What would make you get excited to get out of the bed in the morning and do? What's the type of thing that you would like to, at the end of the day, sit at your dinner table with your family and go, I did these things today and I'm proud of them. Or I did these things today and they had an impact either on me, my family, or the community in general. And basically create a short story for that person that we're sending that resume to and their candidate profile to read. Kind of like sometimes on like Amazon or, you know, your Kindle, you see little snippets of a short story. And the whole purpose of that is if that short story makes you want to buy the entire book or the entire series of books, then that's a great cliff note out of it. And we're trying to work on that with our candidates to say, okay, we're going to help you write that short story so that when we email it to the person who is the president or the hiring manager for that company, that after they get done reading your little short story, they're like, wow, I really want to meet this person. I want to hear their story. I want to talk to them more about what they've done and what they can do for our company. So basically trying to get them so that they wind up in front. And in doing that, you get into a dialogue with the candidate. What do you like about your job? What do you don't like about your job? What would you like to do? What type of company? And a lot of things that people just assume that they've had to take or things that they can't do, you start getting into the things that make them get excited, that make them want to do it. And then we then work with them and go, okay, what are the top 5 companies that you'd like to work for? And they might give you 2 or 3, but they have already written it off and go, well, there's no way I could get an interview with them, or there's no way that I could attain that. And to which point I tell them, I'm like, well, you don't know unless you try. The worst thing that someone's going to tell you is no. And you might be surprised. You don't know what company might be moving to Greenville. You don't know what company might be adding a new division. You don't know what company might have suddenly had an infusion or something happen on their side where they're launching an entire thing that you don't know about. I mean, I have friends of mine in the F3 Nation in my workout group that are part of the Upstate South Carolina Business Alliance. This is the group that basically spends an inordinate amount of time and money recruiting companies to South Carolina. And they are constantly working with 10, 15, sometimes 100 companies to move them from all across the globe or all across the United States to South Carolina in the 10 counties that represent the upstate. From that aspect, I could be sitting there and I could find out I got 5 companies that are moving to the area, and getting to know a candidate and what's going to put that fire in their belly, I'm like, wow, they should work for this type of company. And they're already interviewing and talking with that company long before it even makes the evening news that that company is coming to move here.
One of the things I picked up in that conversation there was that when you try to match a company to a person and vice versa, you're trying to take the idea of work out of the realm of the fact that place you just show up to from 9 to 5 because you have to get your paycheck and leave. You sounds like you're helping people to understand that work is a place where relationships are built, service mm-hmm. is done, and we need to be there as a team because you're going to spend so many waking hours there. You need to make sure it's a person match, not just a paycheck match.
Correct.
Let's just say someone's listening to this interview and they're looking. They want to position themselves for that pursuit of God's career calling in their lives. What would you recommend that they do to position themselves as a good candidate? What makes a good job candidate in your mind?
A good candidate is, in my mind, somebody that stands out amongst their peers. They have taken assignments or they have sacrificed in order to do something of a greater good for that company or that organization. I have an individual that spent two and a half years in China, you know, as an assignment. And he explained to me that at the time the assignment came up, nobody in the company really wanted to make that switch, to kind of uproot and take their family over there. But he saw it as a way for them to, as a family group, do something together that really brought them closer to each other and kind of sacrificed for his company. He's now on the fast track in his company corporate-wide as far as every time there's a promotion, they know that he's the type of person that they can go to that's going to lead, that is going to take that hit to make them successful. Also, for 99.9% of the people, I ask them all the time when they give me their candidate profile, show me and put in your short story where you have led. We exist in a society where I think leadership is at a all-time low. And that if you can show your company how you can lead from either being a clerk to being a middle manager or a manager, if you're choosing to lead, you're adding something to your company and your worth for somebody on a team. And quite frankly, if you got to take a look at yourself and go, wow, I really haven't chosen to lead. I've kind of chosen to sit back and have somebody tell me what to do. Then I tell that person, okay, if you agree that you haven't done that and that's something you need to do, find out where you can lead, whether it be at work or church, your family, your community. Be a leader. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. But the whole thing is get back up and continue to lead. The thing of leading isn't always being successful. My gauge on someone leading is how hard you have fallen, how hard you've gotten hit, and then whether or not you can stand back up. The greater the hit, the more you stand up, the greater, as far as I'm concerned, the leader that you are.
There you go. That's good. That's good. All right, so let's just say someone's coming to you, Blake, and they're saying, look, I know I need to be doing something different. I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to be doing yet. And they're just, they can sense it's time for a change, a different direction, but they don't have a clue where to start. What would be your recommended process for someone to identify and pursue their career calling in their lives?
First, I would say, you know, I ask this of a lot of people that come in. It's like, well, what do you love to do? Okay, if they're like, well, I really don't know or I have no passions, then it's like, all right, talk to your wife, talk to your family. What do you like to do with them? If you don't reach or come to some conclusions there, reach out to your friends, people that you spend time with, people that you enjoy stuff with. They're going to be your best critics. They're going to be the ones that are not going to lie to you, and they're going to tell you, hey, you're really good at this, but you're really horrible at that. Or this is the type of thing that when we do as a group, a community, or as a family, you got 9 spreadsheets, you plan the whole thing out, and we know where we're going to be spending this moment and that moment. Or if you go out with your friends or you do something with your church group that they're like, wow, you know, you're so passionate. You know, do those things with us and you make those things happen. And then from that wheelhouse, start making decisions. Well, what kind of industry does that entail? Or what type of position within that industry could I help out with? I mean, there are people that are planners. There are people that are doers. There are people that are great support personnel. Everybody has their purpose. Find out what it is. And if you can put a team or be on a team where your purpose is applauded and people support you in that, then that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, obviously, being a recruiter, your business is built upon helping other people mm-hmm. find that perfect match. So tell us how people can get in touch with you.
They would just go to thekiddergroup.com. Or they could go blake@thekiddergroup.com.
So do you have a corporate phone number or cell phone number?
Our local phone number here for the Greenville area is area code 864-414-7000. 6744. And then my own cell phone number for my clients and candidates is 704-575-7701.
Awesome. Awesome. One last question for you with the time we have left. Several times during this conversation, you've mentioned F3.
F3 is a workout group that F3 stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. It is about trying to develop male leadership in local communities at a small scale. They're gentlemen that get up and work out with other males in the local area in little pockets of like 5-10 people at 5:30 in the morning. One of my fencing students had explained to me the concept and the group. He had belonged to it for a couple of years and invited me, and I kind of delayed going for about a year and then finally went and was amazed at the camaraderie. They have the circle of trust in the morning in which other males are sitting there and explaining after the workout challenges that they may be having in their own life, whether it be with work or family, questions of faith. And it's one of those things where it kind of stays in the circle, it's called. And seeing other gentlemen that are kind of pouring your heart out and asking you to pray for them in the struggles that they're having in their life, it's something that you don't see on a daily basis. It's not something sometimes if you're having doubts or you have questions, you might want to not talk with your spouse because they panic because you have questions. It's a way for, you know, a lot of guys to talk to and try to get other inputs as to what is going on or ways that they can solve a problem. And then it's a fun group of guys working out in the morning, the horsing around. And from the aspect of the types of people that are there, I've been amazed in the relationships that I have there, because these are other types of executives. There are people who are leaders in their community, because when they're doing stuff in the morning, they have to do it then, because by 7-8 o'clock, their world starts spinning out of control and they're being paid to make sure that that world stays in control. So the only time that they can really work on themselves and do those things are early in the morning. And I encourage anybody who would like to learn more about it to jump on f3nation.com. And not to be sexist, women, they have the same thing. It's called FIA, which is Females in Action. One of my fencing instructors who runs the Boiling Springs School, Sarah, she's a very active member in the FIA group in Greenville and is actually trying to launch a chapter up in the Boiling Springs, Spartanburg
area. What's that address for that website?
FIA is, I believe, FIA.com.
Fantastic. F3Nation.com and FIA.com.
Correct.
Thanks a lot, Blake, for your time.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. And that wraps up our interview with Blake Blakeboro. Now, we only had about 20 minutes worth of time today on the show, but that interview went almost 40 minutes. So if you want to mine a little bit more of Blake Blakeboro's wisdom, you can go to careercallings.net/radio, and I'll have the entire interview on the website. By the way, one quick correction. The FIA group is fianation.com, not fia.com, but fianation.com. But we'll have all the links to the websites we discussed on my website, careercallings.net/radio, as well as a podcast of this program and the full interview with Blake Blakeboro. Have a wonderful day and God bless.